Thank you, Lori. Well, good morning, Harvest. It's great to be here in Chesapeake. I was in Virginia back in February, but I've never been to Virginia Beach, and I'm staying real close, and Pastor Matt and Lori took me to lunch yesterday, and what a beautiful coastline. I'm from Orange County, California, and I think God brought that kind of weather here, because no humidity, nice breeze. I mean, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for bringing great weather to Virginia for this weekend, so really good to be here. I love the tagline of Harvest, radically transformed lives. I'm a radically transformed life. I'm a miracle. We sang about that. I remember in seminary, I don't know Hebrew, but one of the Hebrew scholars talked about in Hebrew, most of the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, they don't even use the word miracles, they use the word wonders. And it really just makes you ponder, how is that even possible? Anything's possible with God. Anything is possible with Jesus. So how did I get here this morning? Let me put my family up on screen real quick for you. That's my wife, Amanda. We just celebrated 13 years of marriage. And amen. Is that all right, church? And my three kids, what are they? 8, 6, and 4. The desire of my heart was to get married and to have a family. Ever since I was little, I remember I always wanted to, you know, be a daddy, have kids, get married and all that. But how do you do that if you're gay? How do you do that if you're same-sex attracted? Homosexuality doesn't work with God's plan. As we read scripture, it's very clear that marriage is between a man and a woman. God instructed Adam, you know, be fruitful and multiply. Well, I grew up in a Christian home. Now, every family is dysfunctional, okay? Every family on the planet is dysfunctional, okay? And we're all broken. I know I'm in need of a Savior, and his name is Jesus. But my family was on the functioning side of dysfunctional. Does that make sense? My dad's an L.A. County sheriff, my mom a librarian. There was no drama in our home. We were well-loved, taken care of, provided for. And I mean, we didn't have a lot of means. I remember we went on a vacation once, and we had just enough money. We were camping up in the California coast and kind of ran out of money, and we got one piece of pie at Marie Callender's. I don't know if they had Marie Callender's out here. And we all split. It was either Marie Callender's or Coco's, but we split one piece of pie five ways because we just had run out of money. But God always provided. But yet, I had a loving mom and a loving dad, a younger brother and a younger sister. But in junior high, I started to be attracted to boys, to men. Had a crush on John, or John, the member of the TV show Chips. Didn't know, understand why, but I was really drawn to him. Didn't know why. I shared in junior high that I was struggling with same-sex attraction. To a youth worker, I shared with my youth pastor. Met him once and kind of brushed it on the carpet, moved on. 10th grade, high school, I said, I tried dating, but I was really attracted to men. What do you do with this? I prayed, I read the word, I asked God, this is a sin, take it away, and he never did. Maybe talking about it a little bit, denying yourself. What does that mean, church? What does it mean to deny yourself? What's that thorn in your flesh that you have to deal with or you get to deal with? Or maybe it's not you. Maybe it's a loved one, a child, a relative. What do you have to deny in your life to follow Jesus? Now, I'm going to back up a little bit and let you know how I got to Church United. So Church United is a nonprofit, 501c3. We're based in Newport Beach, California, helping pastors engage in government. It's ironic because when I came back to Jesus, I wanted nothing to do with the church. Do you know why? I wanted to be Jesus with skin on to a lost and dying world who desperately needs him. And I've come back to the Lord 20 years ago this past June. And I never would have thought I would be preaching and equipping pastors, leaders in the church, to respond to our cultural issues of today. So typically, Church United, we help pastors engage in government. We started in California. That was my sole focus. And, you know, my God, I just want, if we get California, we'll get the nation, you get the globe. Because all the evil that comes out of California goes not only goes across this nation, but around the world, exponentially. And the reverse is true. Look at all the ministries and the revivals that have come out of California and gone across our nation and around the world. But a mentor said, what if you could impact the church? What if you could equip the church to respond to these issues? I said, that makes sense. Okay, I'll go to seminary. Became a pastor, and now I have a network of over 2,500 California pastors, and we're growing nationally and internationally. I share this because I had an opportunity. We had a donor from New York give us a sizable gift and to help deal with some of the LGBTQ issues that we're facing as a nation, specifically waiting to become law at our nation's capital. And in 2019, I took 16 former LGBTQ people to the Capitol to speak out against H.R. 5, the Christian Discrimination Bill. And if that becomes law, it will change Christianity in America as we know it today. We've stood up against these types of bills in California, and now they're at our nation's capital just waiting to be signed into law or passed by both houses and become law. And I want you to share a story. I'm the one taking this video, this next video you're going to watch. And the video is the majority of us are all former LGBTQ people. And only two members were said that they would invite us into the Capitol. And most of these people you see as I'm panning in the picture are former lesbians, homosexuals, and transgendered people who are walking with Jesus. And Representative Louis Gohmert out of Texas actually gave us permission to enter the Capitol. And so he was there with us. You'll see him. And you'll see as I pan and stop, you'll see a picture of Pocahontas in the background. Do you know why she's in the rotunda of the United States Capitol? She's getting baptized because she came to know Jesus. The other photo, so you don't learn this in history, church. I even went to Christian schools and didn't learn this in history. The other photo are the pilgrims and the Indians feasting together, Bible open, looking up to God, giving thanks to God for provision and safety and protection. But let me show this video. It's I'm curious. I'll ask you if anybody has seen it after you watch it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I know I'm someone who needs the Savior, and his name is Jesus. And that blood washes me daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, as I walk and strive to walk in righteousness. Can you go to the next slide? So here is outside the United States Capitol, 157 California pastors. Church United scholarships pastors, like I mentioned, no cost to the pastor of the church to kind of do God's business. Many pastors don't know the names of their elected officials And I'm like, how can you even pray for them if you don't know them? So we try to make that happen, and so you can meet your member of the House, the Senate, and also state officials as well, and provide opportunity for pastors to do this. And what led me to do Church United in 2015, they were aborting babies and selling their parts in my backyard in Yorba Linda, California. I lived in a nice area. We don't so much kill people on the streets. We kill them in the womb and then sell their parts. It's just different type of violence that's kind of more politically correct in the current administration and ruling power right now. And I stood there. We were worshiping inside the United States Capitol. I stood up and I said, they're doing this in my city. They're aborting babies. I've reached out to the sheriff. I've called everybody. No, nobody can do anything. Members of the United States Senate and House members were speaking to our pastors, and I stood up and interrupted and just said that, and it was dead silent like it is in here right now. And I sat back down and I thought, I just made a complete fool of myself. I got an email the next day from Marsha Blackburn. Anyone know who that is? She was a member of the House Select Infant Committee. She was the chair of Infant Lives, now a U.S. senator out of Tennessee. She said, can you come meet with my staff? We're investigating that company in your backyard. So I brought a bunch of pastors over. We had a big meeting of 60 pastors. I called them all out and said, this is happening right here in our town, in our city, in our county. And I told them, I don't know what to do. I've talked to all these people. I don't know what to do, but let's start praying. And we did. A year later, the Orange County District Attorney shut the company down, fined them $7.6 million, never to allow them to do business in Orange County or the state of California again. You know what the DA unveiled during this whole investigation? That one, what they were doing, you can't make a, it's legal to do that in the United States, you just can't make a profit. But how this family came into the United States is they made donations to the Clinton Foundation. That's how they got in from Venezuela to come to the U.S. and to do these terrible things. But what God showed me was this. When his church comes together, we stop evil, we stand up against injustice, and we do good. And I'm like, God, even if we're the super minority, church, I'm a super minority, that God still does miracles. He does things that we cannot do on our own. With God, all things are possible. Amen? Next slide. This is at California State Capitol. We take groups of about 100 each to our Capitol. Anyway, you can see it kind of looks like the church, doesn't it? That's what I love about our Church United pastors. Next slide. So Church United disrupts, unites, and transforms communities. We disrupt pastors, we unite them, and we transform communities for Christ. Never tell a pastor what to do, just give them the opportunity and allow the Holy Spirit to move in and through them. And we're doing not only the impossible in California, we're getting pastors saying, how can we do Church United in our state and in our country? And it was kind of funny because I was so focused on California, and God just keeps opening up doors across the globe and across our own country. But anyway, that's what I do. That's kind of what I do for a living. pay the bills, support the family and all that. But the Lord told me to write a book about my story. And I'm not a gifted writer. That's not my, I'm not an academic. That's not my gifting. You know, I look to scholars and that. I'm just an average day dude. But I thought, you know what? I want to share my story and bring hope to parents and those struggling with LGBTQ issues, because I put my parents through a living hell. I told them they weren't Christian. I did all kinds of stuff because they wouldn't allow my partner to come over, and they maintained the boundaries of tough love, of godly love, and said, son, we love you, but we're not going to support what you're doing. We're not going to condone it. We're not going to join you with it, but we will love you through it. How dare you call yourself Christians? How dare you say you love Jesus? You're the worst. Although I was kicked and screamed for 3 years, actually five technically, they never faltered. But guess what? When God broke me and called me to be his again, or actually when I denied myself and gave my life back to the Lord, He started doing miracles and healed so many things. Next slide. So I titled kind of this sermon, Deny Yourself and Follow Jesus. If you've got your Bibles, can you turn to Luke 9? Luke 9, starting in verse 23. Luke 9, 23, and I'm reading the NIV, New International Version. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. 24, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Church, what does that mean to you? How do you deny yourself? I hope you hear this morning my heart of how I try to walk with Jesus and deny myself, deny my flesh, deny my selfish inclinations. Talk about selfishness. Share with my family. It's like in Christmas, and I share, actually Christmas Eve, I met this girl. I want to marry her. My younger sister, 7 years younger, just stands right up and goes, does she know how selfish you are? Nothing like siblings to call you out on your shortcomings, right? No, family just doesn't have to hold back. And as my brother and sister just railed on me because they remembered how narcissistic I was when I was in the gay lifestyle. It was all about me, my look, my physique. Everything was me, 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 me. The autonomous me, the God of me. What does that sound like, church? It sounds a little bit like our culture. What about me? What do I get out of it? What's my benefit? What's my money? How much money am I getting? It's all about me. Isn't Jesus so counterculture? Deny yourself. What does that mean? Deny you. Pick up your cross. I didn't ask to be gay. I didn't want homosexuality. Why me, God? Why? I don't know what you're dealing with, church. Is it cancer? Is it pornography? Is it who knows what it is? Why me? Why do I have to deal with this? Why am I stuck with this? Has anyone else ever asked that question, or is it just me? Am I the only messed up one here? Next to possibility, I'm pretty messed up, church, let me tell you. But that's when we pick up our cross and we follow Jesus. One of my heroes, the Apostle Paul, when I am weak, then Christ is strong. That keeps me humble. Lord knows I can have a big head and do all kinds of stuff and be all about me, but no, it's about Jesus. How do I choose the road of humility and Christ-like instead of me? I also like Matthew 4:20, if you want to flip over to that. Matthew 4:20, I loved following Jesus, but I wasn't this quick. But I love it as an example because Jesus is like gathering the disciples. In Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Verse 20, this is what gets me. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Whoa, there's an example of following Jesus. I think I maybe took about 28 years before I got to that point. But at once, some versions say immediately, they dropped their nets and followed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So June 8th, 2002, like I said, 20 years ago, I laid on the floor of an apartment in Palm Springs. I know you guys have heat here, but I don't think you get up into the post hundreds very much. Maybe you do. But every summer, that's all the time. It's like never under 100. And in June, it was really hot, and I had nothing but the clothes on my back. I laid on the floor of a tiled apartment, looked at the ceiling. No electricity. I only had a car and the clothes on my back. My partner kicked me out of the house, filed a restraining order, and it went, he switched art. We owned an art gallery together. He was an artist. I ran the business. He took all the money out of our accounts, put it all into one account, and immediately I went from everything to nothing. We lived pretty well, kind of in the Hollywood scene, but we were based in Palm Springs. We didn't have an estate, but we had a micro estate, which is a pretty big property. Our art we sold ranged, the least expensive was $1,000, the most was $30,000. So you can probably kind of figure we rolled with some high rollers and people of very significant means, financial means. And overnight, everything's gone. I don't know why, I can't tell you why this happened, but when I found myself broken, nowhere to go, nothing, I actually had a place to go. Two gay friends across the street from the gallery owned the building complex, and they said I could move in there. But I laid on the floor, and I looked at the ceiling. I said, God, I'm yours again. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Next morning, I got up, I was going to go to the gym, and next to my car laid $5, a $5 bill on the sidewalk. Now, under a Joe Biden economy, God would have had to give me $20 to go to Denny's and get the $2.99 Grand Slam breakfast, because you can't get breakfast for $2.99 anywhere anymore. But the Lord provided. That's the message. And I'll never forget, there was a black gentleman, the manager at the Denny's, and I went up to him, and after I paid for my breakfast, and I have to tell you, God just did a miracle. And I told him what I just shared with you. He probably thought, dude, you are nuts. You're crazy. Who is this, you know, crazy dude? And so, but I wanted to tell him about Jesus. And yet, in the same side of me, my friends for college, the only two that visited me when I was in the lifestyle, Christians, came to me and said, Jim, how can we be praying for you? Actually, I called them, and I more or less said, you better be praying for me, but I'm still gay, I'm still a homosexual, this is who I am. And there was this battle, this war for my soul. Even though I said, God, I'm yours again. And then he started providing. My parents said, come move home, come back home. Heck no, I had my own business, I've traveled to 40 countries, I've been all over the world, I had my own home, and I'm going to go live with mommy and daddy at 28 years old? A grown man? But what do you do when you're broken? You have no money. My car is paid for, literally, like I said, the clothes on my back. I end up moving home. And what God did was to begin to restore the years the locust had eaten. Joel chapter 2. Write that down if you want to. If you need some encouragement, read Joel chapter 2. That's where I'm quoting from. That's where he ministered to me. And guess what God did during that time? He began to restore the relationship between my dad and I as grown men. Had my first sex talk at age 30 with my dad, and I gave it because he wasn't equipped to do it. But it was healing. It was restorative. This is what God's design was. This is what he intended. Also got to work on my relationship with my mom as well. That was important. I could not get enough church. Could not get enough church. I was going to three churches, three men's groups, and just soaking it up and just trying to cleanse my last 5 years in the gay lifestyle away. Went through some great programs. Men's Bible studies, accountability groups. Now, I didn't share with anybody. I was frightened to tell anybody. But I did start reaching out. Ironically, I still started reaching out to pastors. And I was afraid to tell them my story, but I'm like, I have to tell somebody. What's going on with me? And out of the handful of pastors I shared with, one was bivocational attorney, said, let's meet for lunch. Let's see what God's doing in your life. And he mentored me for about 10 years. He's the same one that also recommended, why don't you go to seminary and be equipped pastors, equip the church. It's almost prophetic because it's kind of... what God's called me to do, what I'm doing for such a time as this. Let's see, next slide. Oh, you can go back to the other one. We don't, that's good, okay. So 20 years ago, came back to the Lord. After coming back to the Lord, it was recommended, Jim, don't share your story for a year. Keep it to yourself. See if you can live out your life as you're saying, and be held accountable to that. kind of like, can you be sober? And, you know, it's not, homosexuality is an addiction, but can you not act out, be sexually active, and, you know, live out your faith faithfully for a year? And I thought that was really good counsel. And the July of 2003, a year later, a senior pastor said, could you come and share your story to our church? I was terrified. And at this time, I remember I told you I was going to all these men's groups and going to churches. I didn't tell anyone about this. I mean, I was thinking somebody beat me up or something. You know, I'm just like, I just was so uncomfortable, let alone, you know, 20 years ago, this gay culture was not being taught to children in our public schools. The gay agenda wasn't just snatching kids from families. It was a totally different world, and I was terrified. But when I had shared, it was just like, God, it hasn't stopped. And again, this is like my side ministry, if that makes sense. but it's been an incredible opportunity and journey. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the struggle, the battle, how I got to where I did. And the goal today, if you hear me say anything, is that you deny yourself and you follow Jesus. That you make Jesus not only your Savior, but Lord of your life. And I had to make him Lord of my life to walk in righteousness, whatever your issues are. And my book, right in the beginning, it's very clear. If you think you're going to read this book and go gay to straight, that's not the point of my message. That's not the point of my book. Jesus, God loves you right where you are, but he's called us to walk in righteousness, to live in right relationship. And I don't know what that outcome it might be for you or anybody listening, but let's get on this journey. I'll never forget, I've been on pastoral staff for some years, and I got a call from another church. Hey, this gentleman was in the gay lifestyle, came forward, dedicated his life to the Lord. Can you talk to him? I'm like, absolutely. So we're talking on the phone. First words out of his mouth, you can't get me to go from gay to straight. I'm like, bro. Tell me what's going on. Why did you move forward? I don't care about that. Tell me what's going on. Why did God move in your heart? Why did you walk forward? And kind of just disarmed him a little bit and just say, tell me the story of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. God convicts us. God changes us. But we have to allow him. We have to deny ourselves to get to that point. You get that, church? So as God began to heal and restore me on this, I'll say it's been 20 years now, I was fortunate. At 16, I shared with my parents, and they recommended counseling. And I went to counseling, great godly Christian counselor, still a friend to this day, laid a foundation of understanding root causes of same-sex attraction. Think about that. Root causes. Church, this isn't a genetic issue. Okay? I've been all over the world. I've studied, I've researched. There is zero scientific evidence that the left, the world, however you want to call it, the culture will tell you, there is zero evidence that this is genetic, it's innate, and you're born this way. Innate means you can't change. It's immutable. You cannot change. Yes, you can change. And let me just give you a little, call it a proof text or a proof of this. The one side will say, you're born this way, you cannot change. Why in America are we having an exponential rate of LGBTQ people, girls wanting to transition themselves to boys and vice versa? At an alarming, alarming rate. We didn't have some freak gene pool accident happen and now everybody's becoming LGBTQ. It's because children are being indoctrinated. I think California is one of the first states to do this horrendous evil to children. It's no longer about math, science, reading, language, anything. It's about an LGBTQ agenda indoctrinating children, and it's happened across this country. Think about Loudoun County's in this state, isn't it? Where is that? Are we in Loudoun County? Oh, my word. Crazy, absolute insanity. And then if you're a concerned parent, they send the FBI, they come raid your house. Are you kidding me? That's tyranny. That's communism. That's happening right here in America, in your state. but there's crazy stuff, and I'm seeing these kids, and, you know, parents don't realize when they speak over their kids the impact that has on them. I wish I had a son, you know, I've got all these girls. You know what the girls hear? I think I should be a boy. That little seed. And then you go to the public schools and they affirm you. Oh, you're not a she, you're a he. They're there, what, 8 hours a day, every day, just keeps getting in. And social media, you know what that day, they know what's going on. They, all the psychological things they're pumping into your kids' heads and on TV shows, it is supporting, endorsing, and pushing them. And they believe this is how they've been created. But church, I'm here to say change is possible. There are people, and in my book, at the end, I include 19 stories of former LGBTQ people from around the world. Do you know why? I'm not just some weirdo white North evangelical Christian American that, you know, is this phenomenon. There are black, brown, white around the globe, male and female, who've been radically transformed by Jesus, and their sexuality is now as God intended. And I'll be the first to say, am I still tempted? Absolutely. Guess what? I want to choose Jesus. I know Pastor Brad did not too long ago a sermon on when Jesus got tempted. He was the only one, yet without sin. I, on the other hand, I'm not without sin, but that's why I need Jesus and his blood over me. And I choose him. I choose my wife. I choose my children, the best of my ability to walk in righteousness. And if I mess up, I'm the first to say, Lord, I need forgiveness, or I need to confess, or I need to repent. But my wife will tell you, this is not a part of Jim's life. He's my husband. He's the dad of my three kids. And I'll tell you, 9 times out of 10, I end up like this, on my knees, asking my children to forgive me because I snapped at them, I yelled at them. They're not listening to me. And so, you know, my wife is, my oldest daughter goes, Daddy, how come you can't be more patient like Mommy? Nothing like right in the heart. And then when we pray every night and she says, Lord, can you help Daddy be more patient like Mommy? And I'm like, oh my gosh, another dagger right here. But you know, Daddy still has areas he needs to improve on to be a better dad and a better husband. That's what my focus is. But yes, I can be tempted with all this garbage. It's everywhere. And then, you know what I do? I don't watch TV anymore. I don't listen to the radio. Unplug the idiot box. Honestly, it's what it is. You know, it's funny. The pastor asked all these pastors at a pastor's conference, hey, everybody, what books are you reading? I'm like, reading. Well, don't tell anybody. I don't like to read. So if you don't get the book, no sweat. Don't worry about it. You're with me. But I don't like to read. I'm like, but I'm writing books. That's what I'm doing. I want to change culture. I want to influence through Jesus, not have it change and influence me. So I don't have it on my phone. I got rid of the apps and whatever. You know why? I can't be victorious if I'm putting all that garbage in my mind that they know where your weaknesses are and they just keep pumping it to you, giving it to you. And it's like, I don't want my mind to go to these places. As a 48-year-old man, I can't do it. How are children going to do that, let alone you, church? They know what your weaknesses is. It's a dad, all that wonderful stuff. So deny yourself, follow Jesus. You heard a little bit today how I do that, how I attempt to do that. I did write a book. It's very basic. It's not academic, is what I'm trying to say. Very practical. I had a friend of mine, he's a psychiatrist at Cedars-Sinai. You guys hear that hospital in Los Angeles area, pretty famous hospital. He goes, Jim, I've been doing this for 20 years and working with the community in West Hollywood. I learned more about the community reading your book. And the parents who have read it, it's just given them hope and understanding of their son, daughter, or whomever is dealing with same-sex attraction issues. Now, I will say this. I'm working on my second book, which will be coming out on, I haven't got the title yet, but something like Breaking Sin or Breaking the Sin Habit, 7 Steps to Freedom. But I do want to do a series too, and I'll tell you, the trans issue, the sex-confused issue, Here, I'll say this too. The book will help teach you correct language, how to discuss this stuff. Let's not use the language of the culture. Let's use language that's truth. Why do we use truth? Because the truth sets us free. Now, I tell you, it's not real helpful to tell someone, you know, you're going to hell if you're a homosexual. Well, that might be truthful. But to bang someone over the head, I'll tell you what's, for me, it's been more effective. It's to be relational and speak truth and kindness and graciousness like Jesus did. But as we see this huge uptick, it's the sex confused, not gender dysphoria or trans, it's sex confused. There's two sexes, church, male and female. Right in the beginning, there's none other. But is the devil so good at? Is that really what God said? Really? Did he really not tell you to take that bite, Eve? Really? God wouldn't have told you that. Look how sweet, and that's going to taste so good. Here, honey, take a bite. Man failed too because he didn't protect her. You know, push back the serpent. He was silent because Adam was right with her. So if you want to get a book, they're in the back. They're $25. I'd love to sign it if you'd like me to. If you want to read it, learn more about the issue, or you have a loved one or somebody you think it would minister to, love to have you get that book. But may I pray? And why don't you join me praying? Heavenly Father, good. You're a good, good God. You are gracious. You're kind to a wretch like me. And Lord, if there's anybody in this room, Lord, that is struggling, and maybe it's not even with an LGBTQ issue, maybe it's another sex issue, maybe it's a pornography issue, maybe it's a, I don't know. I mean, there's a litany of sins that we all deal with, Lord. God, I pray if anybody hasn't confessed that, Lord, I pray that they confess that to you right now and just ask that you would forgive them. And then as they confess that with your mind, Lord, that you will cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And Lord, if there's anybody that has not given their life to you, not only as Savior, but made you Lord, God, I pray that they would just leap to their feet and say, Jesus, I love you. I want you to be my Savior and Lord. And I want to walk with you. I want to deny myself, pick up my cross and follow you. And if you're listening or watching online, Lord, I just pray that you would move in anyone's hearts that's listening as well. God, let them do that same. Let them reach out to someone at this church on pastoral staff and let them know, I made the decision to make Jesus Savior and Lord of my life today. Heavenly Father, thank you for making us good. Thank you for making us right before you. Thank you for cleansing us from all unrighteousness when we're victorious and when we fail. And Lord, I just want to say a special prayer for any parents here, Lord, who have a loved one that's dealing with LGBTQ issues. Lord, I pray you would encourage them to never stop praying, to fast on their child's behalf like my parents and extended family did for me. And Lord, I pray that you would bring them into right relationship with you. We praise you and thank you in the all-powerful name of Jesus. We pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Harvest, for having me here this morning. God